Please be seated, and I invite the Lord Mayor to come and bring our reading this afternoon.
Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think these just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud, but God gives grace to the willing humble.
Very important reading from our scripture this afternoon. You know, God, when he made this world, he made it beautiful. He made it in a way that would provide for all of us to sustain life, to life in all its fullness, to be enjoyed, to be loved, to be loved in life and loved by life. And all around us, we see the beauty of that creation, no more so than in a simple field, fields that were given for us to sustain, provide, and host life. And we've used those fields to build on, to build livelihoods, homes, industries. But fields also allow life to grow and to flourish for trees and birds. Fields also in which we have used to bless our families and our lives and turn them into gardens, to provide beauty, safe havens for our children, to relax in. We've used parts of fields that have allowed us to grow crops and cereals, foods. We've used fields to allow livestock and cattle to be fed, for horses to run through, for all kinds of flowers to grow. And when we get down on our hands and knees, we see that fields are full of life, of all sorts of creatures and wonders. And yet when we think about the infamous battlefields of the First World War, such as Ypres, or the Somme, or the Passchendaele, we've torn up those fields of beauty by creating trenches that scars the landscape even today. Fields that were torn up by man's endeavor to provide protection, to build barricades. Through man's endeavors, we've used those fields to churn and to dig up through the many and the senseless bombings and explosions. And through those craters that were formed, they've been filled with poisonous gases, filled with endless rain, filled with the dead. Fields that once gave life have now yielded over to cover the dead. And even in this day and age, they're still digging up bombshells, munitions, provision packs, first aid kits, bits of bones, bits of bodies, which remind us of the horrors that war brings. And the sad fact about war is that it involves people. In our reading this afternoon, It tells us that war is man's own divisive machinations and plans to destroy other life. Life that's been made by God, precious to God, every single life. And yet that great war, the first war, was supposed to be, was supposed to fall, was supposed to shout out and proclaim that all war is senseless. And so this world war that unfolds so many millions of lives was meant to end all wars. And we should learn from it and grow from it. And yet in the murky battlefields, the only sense of life that could ever exist in such mire and such squalor and such a pity state was the poppy. For whatever reason, poppies thrive in such devastation, in such boggy conditions, sometimes where nothing else can. And yet what was supposed to grow out of that was hope for humankind. But we know that from that war, another great war loomed into view, and all subsequent wars after. We haven't learned. We haven't grown up. We haven't taken responsibility. And even in this country today, we find it hard to advocate for peace and are more willing to go in with our guns and our bombs rather than our endeavours to try and sit and talk to people out of those situations. So even today, in the conflicts of the world, where fields are still being torn up, ever more closer to people's homes, where people live, where children play, the bombs are still going off, and the fields are still covering the dead. When will we grow up? When will the wars end? When will we find ourselves in peace? The thing is, we can't do it on our own. We've tried and we've failed. And we find that even in our communities, even in our homes, there are battles and conflicts because we haven't learned to resolve our differences, to accept and tolerate each other, and to fight not for our own selfish, greedish, and our own individual needs, but to fight that all may come and find a peaceful way forward. And that should be our battles. It's sad to see before us so many crosses laid out, each name of the persons from Baxingdon. It reminds us that in such a small community as this, especially in those days around 1916, in which the powers formed and came together, that those lives are torn away from that small community. And little did they know as they set off in that joint adventure, little did they know, anticipate, that they would never come back home. Little did they ever think that we would be sat here today reading their name out, remember their fallen life, the horrific circumstances in which they were killed. But we have to. We have to remember all wars and remind ourselves time and time again that we need help. And for me, I believe that help comes from God. He's the author of perfect peace. He's the orchestrator of perfect love. He is pure in heart. And the only way to live together as human beings in this field is to live by his love, to work by his standards, and to appreciate that every life is not only precious to God, but needs to be precious to one another. And we don't have to start in the battlefields of the world today. Perhaps the best place to start is here, now, in this community, to fight against the injustices, to work hard to strive for community cohesion and peace. And we can only do that by working together. And the fact that you're all here today, and those who couldn't make it today, is a marvelous example that we want to strive. We want to forget the horrors of wars, and yet we don't want to forget the peace that can come from it. And what if we can grow like the poppies in the field and make a difference to our lives and a difference to this community, then who knows, maybe we can start to transform society to all strive to be better than what it is. I want to finish with a poem that you will have all heard of by John McCrae, who was an ambulance driver, a captain during the war, and which witnessing so many bloodied bodies coming back out of those ambulances, in a moment of stillness and quietness, he wrote this. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the lark still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. We are the hope of today, and with a mighty effort we can make a difference. Let us learn to love each other, accept each other, and value each other, perhaps like we've never done before. Amen.